From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Getting a manicure. There was a time in U.S. history when this was a luxury of the elite. It's a far more affordable indulgence today. Our next guest credits the arrival of Southeast Asian immigrants with making it more accessible to Americans and says we should be paying more attention to their working conditions. Preeti Sharma is author of the UCLA Labor Center study, Nail Files. Good morning.
Good morning.
How did immigration change this industry?
Well, part of what our report talks about is how nail salons are a booming multi-billion dollar industry, and the immigrant and refugee labor force, as well as changes in technology, have turned what used to be this high-end luxury service into an affordable one that everyday people can access. And in our report, we found that this industry is mom-and-pop and immigrant-driven. And while this labor force has definitely democratized the industry, making it accessible, the cost is being paid by workers through low wages.
You point out that the nail salon industry is expected to grow twice as fast as the average U.S. Industry over the next decade. And you looked at the conditions of workers. What did you find?
So we found that 8 in 10 nail salon employees earn low wages, and this is actually at a significantly higher rate than a national rate of 33% for all industries. And some of those difficult working conditions that contribute to this include being paid a flat rate rather than an hourly rate, actually having minimum wage and overtime violations, and then harassment and surveillance. The other key concern that we found is issues of misclassification. And given that 30% of nail salon workers are self-employed, this number stands out because it's triple than the national average, and it raises concerns for us around how some manicurists may be purposefully misclassified as independent contractors.
What do you mean by misclassification?
So the nail salon sector has a high rate of folks who are self-employed, but part of this can include folks who are independent contractors, and those folks can set their own hours. They can, you know, make appointments with their own clientele if that's done correctly. However, this is often not the case based on studies and existing literature where folks don't have that kind of control. And in addition, part of the concern about being misclassified is not having access to workplace benefits and labor law protections, as well as the right to organize.
And so by misclassification, you mean there are people out there doing absolutely full-time jobs, full-time work, but they're classified as independent contractors, so they don't get any of the benefits that go with what legally is a full-time job.
Correct. Folks are working, you know, more than 8-hour work days, 6 days a week, and some of that raises questions around labor laws.
Why do you think this industry is so prone to these kinds of abuses?
One thing that this report looks at are agencies at 4 different levels, and so there are agencies around licensing, labor, health and safety, and cosmetics products. And while there have been many inroads made around language access, there's still a lot of barriers around creating non-exploitative conditions, and studies have also shown that workers and employers have a lack of understanding around labor laws.
You mentioned language, so it sounds like you're saying that employers, these might be refugees or immigrants, might not know about U.S. labor law, and the other way around, U.S. regulators might not have the language abilities necessary to properly regulate some businesses.
Correct. We want agencies to be able to educate employers about their legal responsibilities and workers about their rights, and that should take into account these language barriers.
So in service of offering this one-time luxury to the average consumer, some sacrifices have been made mm-hmm. in working conditions of these laborers. How do you fix that?
We want to ensure quality jobs and labor protections for nail salon workers. We want to guarantee workplace protections and their enforcement. And we want to support high-road businesses and good employers. And we want to assure the health and safety of nail salon workers.
This does bring to mind the long simmering debate over immigration that is ongoing. One side argues that immigrants take jobs, depress wages. Most studies find that immigrants do not steal jobs and that wages do not get depressed. I'm just wondering where your report fits in.
I would say that this is an important time to be looking at immigrants, and given today's anti-immigrant sentiment, this is an example of immigrant entrepreneurship and ethnic niches that are thriving, and they're very much driven by immigrant and refugee and women's labors. And studies have shown that education is a key component in having workers and employers understand labor law, and so the whole point is to create this conversation and to bridge partnerships between community organizations that already have relationships with nail salons and, you know, can best provide this information.
Preeti Sharma is author of the UCLA Labor Center study, Nail Files. Thank you so much.
Thank you.